process. Before you get out there, it'd be a very good thing if you grab your sword. Or I mean, if you grab your shield this morning, okay? Because Satan, said Paul, is firing flaming arrows at us. And there's all kinds of arrows. I know some people that have been struck by the arrow of envy. They always want what somebody else has. And it doesn't matter what's going on in their life. They're always looking out there and saying, you know, I don't know why they get ahead. I don't know why it always goes their way. When I try as hard as I can, and the harder I try, the harder, further behind I get. So I know some people that suffer from that arrow. They've been hit. I know a lot of people that have been struck by the arrow of greed. Now, we don't call it greed in church. That don't sound good. No, today what we typically call the arrow of greed is we're living the life. We're following, we're experiencing the American dream. We're getting more and we want more. And it doesn't matter how much our stuff we've got in our house, we need more stuff. Man, we've been struck by the arrow of greed. And the truth is, there's also the arrow of doubt and discouragement. And if we're not careful, if those hit us, then we get in trouble real fast. What I'm telling you is there's all kinds of flaming arrows that are out there. They're different sizes. They're different shapes. But the one thing that will protect us, see, is our shield of faith. We're going to Ephesians chapter 6 again, verse 10. Starts with beautiful words, doesn't it? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Because of all of that, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. With the belt of truth wrapped around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. See, as we go, as we get out there, as we begin to truly live it, as we let righteousness become a part of our lives to the point that we're out there following God's commands, well, the opposition is only going to begin to rise, and it's faith. Faith, it's almost like a defensive weapon. In a way, it kind of shields us from everything that Satan is trying to throw at us this morning. But it's also faith. Understand the beauty, the wonder of faith is it not only shields us from the stuff that Satan's throwing at us, but it also opens up God to us. It opens up God's goodness and God's greatness for us. See, I want a faith like Moses. And I love it. You know the story. There they are. Man, they're that rock in a hard place. Pharaoh's coming and coming fast, and he's not coming to say, hey, I forgot to tell you goodbye and have a good trip. That's not why he's coming. When he gets there, things are going to get ugly, and they're going to get ugly fast, and people are going to get hurt, and people are going to die. But there's nowhere to run. Listen to what Moses said to the people. He said, don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you'll see the deliverance of the Lord. Now that sounds like faith to me. And the Egyptians that you see today, you'll never see them again. For the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, well, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the waters so that the Israelites can go through on dry ground, and that's what happened. You know, in faith, Moses raised up that staff, and I don't care how great it looked in that movie, The Ten Commandments, you know, by DeMille, and what wonderful scene. I got to believe that in real life and in real person, it was even more spectacular. As the waters began to part and dry ground appeared, and away they went. See, in faith, he raised the staff. It saved them because of his faith. And I got to tell you, that's what faith still does for us this morning. It opens up ways for us to follow God that we can't imagine how God can do it, but God will do it if we'll simply raise our faith and follow. How big is yours? I want a faith. Well, I want a faith like Elijah. I mean, Elijah had finally had enough of it. The Israelites were playing games. They were kind of playing with, you know, worshiping God a little bit, and they were worshiping Baal, you know, the Canaanite god that was there in Palestine. And they were kind of worshiping here and worshiping there. And finally, Isaiah said, that's it. Make a choice. You make a choice. You got to figure out which one's God. You figure out which one's greatest, and you need to follow him. And he said, here's how we'll do it. He said, we're going to make two sacrifices. And we're going to prepare these sacrifices, and we're going to get everything ready. And he said, then we're going to cry out to the gods respectively. The prophets of Baal, you can cry out to Baal and ask for him to send fire down out of heaven and consume the sacrifice. And if Baal does it, choose Baal and serve him. He said, but if he doesn't, I'm going to pray to the Lord God. And he said, if God sends fire, worship him. I mean, it goes like this. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. And since there are so many of you, and there was only one Elijah, since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. And so they took the bull given to them and they prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Oh, Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered, and they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout a little louder, he said. Surely Baal is God. Perhaps he's deep in thought or busy traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened. And so they shouted louder. They slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until the blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued from their frantic prophesying until the time of the evening sacrifice, but there was no response. And then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. And they came to him, and he prepared the altar of the Lord, and he placed the bull upon it. And then we're told that at the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped backward, and he prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things as you commanded. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and you're turning their hearts back again. And then fire shot out of heaven and consumed the sacrifice. When Elijah prayed, you better step back or you're going to get burned. See, it was in faith. Faith that allowed the greatness of God to come pouring down out of heaven to affirm to the people, look, I'm God. There is no one else like me. You need to follow me. See, faith takes away the excuses, doesn't it? About how that sometimes, well, today people aren't as willing to come to church as they used to be or why we're not growing the way we ought to be. Faith takes away all the excuses because faith knows that there's nothing too big or too great for God to do. Our only requirement of faith is to be obedient and to figure out what God wants and to start following. See, faith knows that there's nothing too high or wide for God. Think about David. I mean, when he finally had it with all those blasphemies of the Philistine giant Goliath. David. When he'd had enough, he went out and gathered up some pebbles. Why pebbles? Because he was a boy, not a warrior. He wasn't going out with weapons. He was going out with a boy's slingshot. And yet, because of his faithfulness to God, down came Goliath. Faith knows that there's nothing too big or great for God to do. So faith, said Paul, is the shield that stops all those flaming arrows that Satan is hurling at us. In faith, we see the miracles of God. It's in faith we witness the power of God at work in our lives and in our world. You see, you couple faith to righteous burden to seeing people saved, and things are going to happen and happen fast. How big is yours? What size shield do you carry around every day? I know some people, I don't think their faith is any bigger than the size of a quarter. But I don't know about you, but I want a big one because I want to hide behind it. You know, the Roman soldiers had two types of shields, by the way. The one that we normally think about that kind of straps to the arm and it's real movable like this. But they also had one that was rectangular that was almost the size of a man. You literally could hide behind your shield. I'm thinking that's the one that I want this morning. I want a faith that's strong enough to know that God is with me even when I don't feel God's presence. I want a faith that's not going to waver even when God doesn't answer my prayers the way that I want God to answer my prayers. I want a big one that says that even when God tells me to do something and it doesn't make any sense to me, I still have enough faith to follow. You've all heard the funny little story about the guy that was at the Grand Canyon and he accidentally falls over. And he's hanging there. He's about 5 feet down before he crashes to his ultimate death. And he's hanging on for dear life. And he yells, "Is anybody up there? Anybody up there?" And he hears the voice says, "Yes, I'm up here." And he said, "Oh, help me." And he said, "Well, I'll help you, but do you have any faith?" And, "Oh, I have all kinds of faith. Help me, please." And the voice says, "Well, turn loose and you'll be okay." And there's this silence. And he said, "Anybody else up there?" See, that's the way we often are with God. We cry out for God to tell us what to do, and when God tells us what to do, it's like, I don't know about that. Truth is, if God tells me to turn loose, I want a big enough faith that I'll turn loose, even though it doesn't make any sense to me. And we turn loose, not because we can see what's going to happen, but because we know the one who sees us. We turn loose not because we know what's going to happen, but because we know the one who does know what's going to happen. Faith is what moves us out of the boat when Jesus says, "Step out." I mean, when he says, "Jump," we're going to jump knowing that he's going to catch us. In a previous pastorate that I had, the church, after they'd built a new building, they had an old church bell, but they didn't want to build the big bell tower in front of the church. And so they made a very big kind of a block brick structure out in front of the church, and they mounted the bell on top of it. And it only stood about five and a half foot tall, something like that. And they used it also for the church sign out front. And it had a nice big ledge around it, and so guess where the kids loved to play? Because they could kind of climb up there and run around. And anyway, one evening, as a Wednesday night after church, sitting there talking with one of the young fathers, and he was holding Allie. And Allie was just big enough that she had just started walking, really small. And of course, the other kids were up there, and guess where she wanted to be? She wanted to go up there where they were at. And so after a while, Wade was his name. He took little Allie and he placed her up there. And she's smiling ear to ear till he stepped back just a little bit. And then all of a sudden, she kind of looked around. I think she decided this wasn't so fun after all. So she wanted him to take her back. And he said, "Well, just jump." And man, I tell you, she launched. No hesitation. She launched. And of course, he caught her. I mean, but I'm thinking, and I even that night, I remember saying, "Man, now that's faith." And that's the kind of faith I want when Jesus says, I want to just launch and say, know that he's going to catch me. A pastor by the name of Juan Carlos Ortiz had talked to some trapeze artists, part of a circus that was in town. And they were talking about the things that they did. And they, you know, they admitted that the net underneath them was to keep them from killing themselves if they fell. But they then said, you know, what the net really does is it often keeps us from falling because we don't worry about it. We know if we fall, we're going to be all right because it's there to catch us. And Pastor Ortiz made this comment. He said, "We have security in God. When we are sure that his arms are there, we can dare to attempt great things for God. We can dare to be holy. We can dare to be obedient. We can dare because we know the eternal arms of God will not let us fall." I believe that. See, our part in a growing faith, our part is simply to open our lives up more to God than we've done before. And I don't care if you're 9 or 90, there's still more of you that you need to open up to God. And faith doesn't grow because we resolve it. I'm going to have a stronger faith. No, it comes as we open our lives and we follow. It grows when God calls us to do something we know we can't do if God doesn't step in. See, how big is yours? Faith protects us. It's the one ingredient that makes all the difference. We need to keep it with us at all times. There's some card out there that says, "Never leave home without it." Well, I can tell you, don't ever leave home without your shield of faith. Because even if Satan has left us for a little while and things are going pretty good, I got to tell you, he'll be back. And he'll have more flaming arrows in his pouch. And even though sometimes we step out and we experience God's blessing, that doesn't mean necessarily that the next time we won't hesitate. Sometimes we pull back even though we've been caught before. Little Allie, she watched all those kids playing and she wanted back up there a second time. And so Wade put her back up there. And again, she decided she didn't want to be up there very long. And he said, "Well, jump." But you know what she did? She hesitated. I found that really odd. The first time, no hesitation. She just went. But the second time, she hesitated. And her father coaxed her a little bit. Said, no, it's all right. Remember, I caught you the first time. And she finally did, but not with the same abandon. Now, I think that also is a descriptor of faith sometimes. God's come through. How many times has God come through in your family, your life, or in our church? And yet, when something comes up, how many times do we step back and say, well, I don't know if we can do this or not? Rather than knowing that God has said, launch yourself because I'm there to catch you. So faith isn't automatic. I've known people that have been in church for years and their faith is the size of a quarter. And then I've known others that simply day in, day out seem to have a faith that just continues to grow and to get stronger. May God help us move forward with that kind of faith. See, because if we have just a little faith, and that's the beauty of it, isn't it, really? The mustard seed faith moves mountains. I like it. And even though we look at Moses and Elijah and David, think about it. Just look, all Moses did was raise his staff. It's not like he parted the water. And Elijah, he just got on his knees and prayed. It's not like he sent the fire. And really all David did was grab a few pebbles. He didn't make Goliath come crashing down. But here's the thing. They believed God, and God came through. See, it's time to choose this morning. Faith or not faith? See, it's time to choose. And I'm choosing God this morning because I know that I need God. And you need God because we all need God this morning. See, it's not about resolving or trying harder, but it's about being more open to Jesus. And the truth is, life is hard, but no one has to deal with life alone this morning. I don't, and neither do you. And it all starts with faith. Lord, this morning we pause, we bow before you, we ask for your holy and divine presence to come and be amongst us. May your spirit move, may you call to us. For those of us that have been following you for a while, but our faith isn't where you want it to be, Lord, call out to us, show us those things, convict us of those things. And today, Lord, may we make the decision to launch out knowing that you're going to catch us. And for those here this morning that have never stepped over the line, they're doing life without you. I pray that through the presence of your Spirit calling out to them, they'll realize that it starts with faith and faith in you. So help us, Lord, to truly give you our lives that we might experience the true miracles not only of salvation, but the miracles of letting you work in our lives that others may know. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand this morning as we sing.
You turn in your hymn books, page 366, I Surrender All.
the grace of God calls to us to follow. And it takes faith. How big is yours?
Y'all have an awesome day. See y'all tonight.